WFXX, once again.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
All right, let's get off to a flying start here for a Wednesday morning. Hold on. I'm trying to get the music started. Why? Maybe if we try this one. There we go. Somebody moved a button on me. How'd they do that? And it's, I can't do it. I'm sorry, folks, I can't do it. That's the Ironheads gig, the over-the-top, wild, crazy intros to the show. All right, we'll call this a wonderful Wednesday. How's that sound? Because I tell you what, weather-wise, it looks like that's exactly what it's going to be today. So welcome to a Let's Talk program. Sky Geezy here with you again. The Ironhead Jeff Byers is in Philadelphia, that lucky guy, for the NCAA Wrestling Championships, which start tomorrow. Again, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. So he is down there, obviously, the voice of Penn State Wrestling. He's a little busy for the next couple of days, although what's he doing today? Probably sightseeing. And again, the action doesn't start till tomorrow, 12 noon tomorrow, by the way. And so he's probably walking around. Again, lucky guy. Maybe he's going to go down to the famous Reading Terminal Market. If you've never been to the Reading Terminal Market, it's in downtown Philadelphia, very famous down there. It's essentially an indoor farmer's market, but it's big. I mean, it's big. And it's got great food and, you know, obviously Philadelphia things you can buy. And, you know, it's farmer. If you've been to, you know, a farmer's market, especially an indoor farmer's market. Maybe not just a farmer's market. You know, the outdoor ones, farmer's market, farmers, food, you know, obviously, okay. If you go to an indoor farmer's market, usually in a very large building, yours truly, I grew up in the York and Adams County area, mostly York County, and York County still has, last time I remember, they have three of these large indoor farmers markets. And they're open, like, on different days. So they don't exactly compete against each other. You know, they kind of, they're not open 7 days a week, you know, nothing like that. And so they're open on certain days. And, of course, there's baked goods, and there's fruits and vegetables, and there's fresh meats, and all this stuff. But then there are also stands where they sell, you know, knickknacks and artwork and furniture and, you know, lots of different things. They're really, really cool. I've been wanting to have one of those around here for a long time. Hello, Nittany Mall. Are you listening? All right. You got some vacant space over there, even if the casino shows up. There's sort of a small farmer's market. I'm talking big. I'm talking really big. And it would draw in a lot of people because it does in York. I mean, they've got a couple that are downtown. There's another one that's sort of on the edge of the city, and they're very popular. The Reading Market in downtown Philadelphia is like that. Really, really popular. I bet he's going to go get a legit soft pretzel, a Philadelphia soft pretzel from one particular stand there at the Reading Terminal Market. I've been there. I've had it. Yum, 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 yum. And, you know, fresh-made candy and little restaurant cafe areas. It's pretty cool. All right. If you ever go to downtown Philadelphia, make it a point. Go to the Reading Terminal Market, which is right smack in the middle of the city. Can't miss it. You'll have a great time. But anyway, that's something else. Welcome to the program. Scott here with you. We've got some busy shows this week. Now today I've got a wide open, open line show. Believe me. You kidding? Lots to talk about. Politics, sports, colleges and universities. Got some interesting numbers to throw at you a little bit later on. And, of course, open lines means you, all right? 814-954-7266. That's our number if you'd like to join me at some particular point in the program. Now, we have a busy show this week. The Ironhead won't be back in here till Monday. Again, he's a little busy. Tomorrow's show and Friday's show are going to be really busy. Both days, the Ironhead is going to check in from Philadelphia. Tomorrow, it'll be sort of a preview, because, again, the wrestling doesn't start till noon tomorrow. And then Friday, we'll sort of get, you know, like a recap of day one, look ahead to day two. Is the Penn State juggernaut just going to mow over everybody, which is kind of expected, and so on. So he'll be joining us tomorrow and Friday morning for just a bit. Also on Friday morning, if you want to plan ahead, local state representative Paul Takac is going to join me in studio. Talk about state issues right now, but especially Rockview State Prison. That has become a massive issue now since Governor Shapiro announced a few weeks ago, yeah, we're going to close Rockview. Whoa! You know, that caught some people by surprise. The Rockview Prison is right in Representative Takac's zone, his district. And the Quihana Boot Camp, which essentially is just over the Center County line in Clearfield County, that's also slated to be closed. And so we're going to talk to the representative on Friday. He has a bunch of, I guess, call them town halls, where people can come and speak and, you know, give your piece and so on. If I recall, I don't have the schedule here in front of me. I think the first one is Friday evening. All right. And they're going to be kind of spread out, in towns in the representative's, district. Although, as far as I know, you don't have to be from his district to go to one of these town halls. But we're going to be, talking with, Representative Takac on Friday. And yeah, the Rockview thing, that's going to be the main question. That's what we're going to talk about. Tomorrow's program, I'm looking forward to. All right. Scott here. I'm a bit of a history geek. Tomorrow we're going to be joined here by Jackie Esposito, from the Center County Historical Society. And she is giving, a talk or an address this weekend, which I've already been told is essentially sold out. Maybe not sold out is right. It is at capacity for registration. And you're thinking, whoa, all right. Maybe they weren't expecting that, but that's what I've been told this week. They're already maxed out for this thing. But we're going to have Jackie join us tomorrow. The point of her talk, and it's kind of interesting, she's going to talk about the presidents of Penn State from the first to Neely Bendapudi and the whole stretch in between. And I'm going to bet there are fascinating stories in that list. You know, names that you've heard, but you probably have no idea who they are. You've heard them because we've named streets after them, or we've named buildings after them, all right, like Atherton and Pugh and some other ones there, all right? And so we're going to, you know, kind of look at the history of Penn State through the eyes of their presidents, all the way up to the current president. So I'm going to be curious to see what, you know, stories and things that Jackie has to tell us. That's on tomorrow's show. Really looking forward to that. Make sure you tune in for that one. That, especially if you can't go to this gig this weekend from the Historical Society, because they're maxed out already. They're at capacity. I'm like, wow, that was fast. Okay. So we're going to talk with Jackie tomorrow. That's going to be an interesting conversation. All right, again, 814-954-7266. If you'd like to chime in early, if you want to wait till later, our sports segment will be coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes. Of course, lots of things going on there. NCAA basketball tournament started last evening. Don't know if you watched it. Now you're thinking, wait a minute, it doesn't start till Thursday. Well, the main part starts on Thursday. Last night, I still call them the play-in games. These are, you know, they have two, if you will, very low-seeded teams, and they play each other. One wins, and then they move on to the real, I shouldn't call it the real tournament, but you get the idea. And yeah, I was watching last evening, and I'm pulling for St. Francis from down in Loretto. Little St. Francis, Rob Krimmel, State College, Rob Krimmel has been their head coach for a number of years now, and there he is on TV last night, like, oh, this is really cool. And if you watched the game last night, yes, it was a heartbreaker. St. Francis led for most of that game, and they were the underdog against Alabama State. And they led for most of the game. But then Alabama State came on late, and the game was kind of going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was tied at 68 with, what, 3.5 seconds left. St. Francis had a chance to get the ball. They couldn't get possession. Alabama State does the Hail Mary. Length of the court, guy throws the basketball. Now remember, if you know your basketball rules, the clock doesn't start until somebody touches the ball. And so here's the ball, all the way down the court. It bounces off one guy, bounces off a second guy. A bunch of guys are fighting for the ball. It ends up in the one guy's hands. He puts it up and in. Unfortunately, he played for Alabama State. Oh! I'm not going to ring my bell, but there it is. Oh, with 1 second left, the guy scores. And you're like, ah, dagger in the heart. And, of course, St. Francis had 1 second to do something. Well, they inbounded the ball. Guy does a, you know, like three-quarter court heave or something. And it didn't come close. Oh, man. I really wanted St. Francis to win that game last night, and they didn't. Ugh. Now, the bad news for Alabama State is, first off, they play again tomorrow. All right, not much of a break there. They play again tomorrow, and they play against Auburn. Auburn, I believe, is the number one team in the country right now, or number one or number two or something like that. So you're going right up against one of the best teams in the country, and my prediction tomorrow, I think Alabama State's going to get killed. I think they're going to get absolutely buried tomorrow. Yeah, we'll see what happens. The other game last night, of course, drew a lot of attention. North Carolina was in that game against San Diego State, and the complaining all week, North Carolina doesn't belong there. This is a travesty. Should have been Indiana. Should have been West Virginia. Should have been somebody else. You know, rah, 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 all this stuff. Now, if you didn't stay up late for that game, both these games last night played in Dayton, Ohio. So the St. Francis game was first. North Carolina game really didn't get rolling until, oh, boy, it was after 9 o'clock, I think, last night. North Carolina, by the way, won the game over San Diego State's had some good teams in recent years. Final score was 95-68. Do the math. All right. North Carolina crushed them last night. I think we can put all the belly aching to bed now. All right. North Carolina has earned its spot therein. Actually, Carolina's been pretty good, except when they're playing Duke. That's the only problem. They've been pretty good here for a month or more. They've been on a hot streak. And so all this belly aching and complaining, I'm like, come on, these guys have been really good lately. You know, it's kind of like Penn State men's hockey. They got off to a lousy start, and then all of a sudden somebody flicked a switch, and they're, like, awesome now. They're fantastic. All right? We don't know yet if they're going to make the NCAA tournament. They should. Hint, hint, hint. We'll see what happens when it's all said and done. But anyway, we'll have some more sports stuff coming up later on. Actually, let me toss this in here very quickly. All right, I've got my notes here. If you were listening last week, we had a guest talking about local adult wrestling. And no, not the kind that involves oil, mud, or jello. Okay, no, no, no. Actual adult wrestling, a local adult wrestling club. Either if you're a former wrestler and you want to kind of get back into the swing of things, or you just want to learn wrestling because it's a very unique sport. That is, I would say, beneficial probably to anybody who tries it. And it's for adults, not for the kids. They, you know, they got their own gig. This is for adults. So we had that guest last week. It was pretty interesting stuff. We got that guest because somebody sent us a tip. Hey, did you hear about this? All right. And it was, you know, local adult wrestling club. Like, oh, I had no idea. Even the Ironhead didn't even know about this. Mr. Wrestling wasn't aware of this particular club. And so we got a tip from somebody about a great guest, and we had him on. It was great. It was a lot of fun. We learned some interesting stuff. So let me toss this out here really quick. If you have a tip for, I don't know, an interesting story, something going on that maybe is kind of under the radar, you know, that sort of thing, we'd love to hear about it. Now, no guarantees, but maybe at some point we may say, hey, let's have a guest on that, like we did with the adult wrestling last week. If you have such a tip, all right, like, hey, maybe check this out, all you got to do, go to our website, 987thefox.info, 987thefox.info, look for the Contact Us link at the top of the page, click on it, all right, put in your information there in the next window that comes popping up. I get the message, and if it looks interesting, we'll follow up on it like we did last week. We'd love to get some tips, some things that we, you know, didn't even know, didn't realize, something new we didn't, you know, I didn't even know about that, that sort of thing. Or some controversy or some issue that you think deserves some coverage. Now, again, no guarantees, but give us some tips. We'd love to see them. All right, again, 987thefox.info. Click on the Contact Us link there. Put in your information on the next page, and we'll check it out. All right, hey, we love getting tips and so on. All right, some other quick notes. All right, let's start weather. Oh, yes, weather. Now, it's a gorgeous day today, isn't it? I mean, already it's supposed to hit 70 degrees today, folks. T-shirt weather, T-shirt and shorts. I don't know if Penn State students are going to go out sunning themselves today. Maybe they will. It might be a little crazy, but okay. Of course, we're still dealing with the power outages from that nasty storm on Sunday. And we've sort of turned this into a daily update, which is a little weird. But I'm calling up again the West Penn Power outage map. And you can do this at home. Just do a little web searching for West Penn Power and find their outage map. The numbers are better than yesterday. Again, the electric crews, God love those guys and gals. I mean, they're working like dogs right now because there are so many outages dotted across central, especially central and western Pennsylvania. I mean, they're like everywhere. And I've been kind of keeping track, like, okay, what are the places that have the most outages? Well, the greater Uniontown area, now that's south of Pittsburgh. Right now, it says they still have about 19 outages in that neighborhood. The greater Clearfield area, right now listed about 16 outages still in the greater Clearfield area. The Phillipsburg area is listed for about 11 outages still right now. The Bellefonte area, just sort of Bellefonte, just kind of them alone, I think. They're listed for 11 outages in the sort of Bellefonte, Milesburg area. Above that, I guess if you head more towards Zion, there's probably, well, there's actually two numbers. There's a 9 and a 13. That's a lot. State College still leads the list. The greater State College area, according to this map, still has 26 outages that have not been fixed since Sunday. Now, if that's you, I'm sorry. I'm not laughing. I mean, it's like I have been in this situation. It's been 30 years, but I have been in this situation, and it drives you crazy. Because if you don't have a backup generator of some kind, of course, your refrigerator, what's going on in there? Your freezer, what's going on in there? Not good. Now, again, I mentioned yesterday, and I've checked some of these, and it's been slightly updated. West Penn Power, when they do this, they have to give an estimated time that everything's going to be fixed. And again, my observation for many years of just following this is these predictions are notoriously wrong. Just notoriously wrong. Now, for the last, I think, 2 days, actually, the estimated time of fixing, they pretty much made it all the same. Wednesday night, in other words, tonight, at 11 p.m., everything's supposed to be fixed up by tonight at 11 p.m. Now, to be fair, yesterday, okay, I'm looking at this map. The number for State College a moment ago was 26. Now the number is 27. Where'd that come from? I don't know. Now, yesterday, the number was 50. So maybe they can make it by 11 o'clock tonight. Maybe. I wouldn't hold my breath. I'm going to guess some of these are going to go into tomorrow. Now, does that mean you can, if you have no power, you can sue West Penn Power? No, you can't do that. All right, don't even try. Again, the folks are working tirelessly. I saw one blurb. They're bringing in power crews from other places to try to, you know, pick up the slack. They're doing everything they can do as quickly as they can to fix all this stuff. All right? It takes time. That storm on Sunday, the wind, what was it? One wind gust in State College was listed at 68 miles an hour. Now, that's not a tornado or a hurricane or anything like that, but still, 68 miles an hour, that's a big wind, and it caused a lot of damage. On my drive to the studio this morning, I looked to my one side. Here's a big, giant tree limb down in somebody's front yard, and I'm thinking, I don't remember seeing that yesterday. Boom, there it was, okay? So we just got to be patient, and I know if you have no power, your patience ran out probably yesterday. Again, I shared a story 30 years ago. This was me, my house, my family. We had no power for 3.5 days, and that was in November. All right, at least here the weather this week is favorable, okay? Just we'll check this map again tomorrow to see where the numbers are, but just I don't know, sit tight. I'm not sure what else to tell you. Hopefully you have a generator of some kind, or you borrowed one, or you rented one or something. Yeah, I bet the generator rentals are through the roof this week. Yeah, I bet they are, aren't they? Okay. Speaking of weather, we are, we're under another wildfire, I guess, advisory today. Because while the weather's been gorgeous, you know, yesterday and now today, still dry. Still exceptionally dry in a lot of places. I mentioned that at my house, I'm from Penns Valley, my lawn is starting to green up. But in my travels the last couple days, again, I'm driving along and I'm looking to the left, looking to the right. I'm seeing still very brown lawns. Is that your lawn? Extremely brown. And the reason for that is just essentially dryness. We could use more moisture. Now, apparently we may get some of that, I guess, like tomorrow, Friday. We may get some of that, which is great. But it's still dry, dry enough that, you know, if you go a little wild with burning or something, a possible wildfire risk. Now, I'll be honest, yesterday I was out burning at my house because I could do that. I stayed with the fire. All right, I thought, okay, everything looks kind of moist around here, but I better stick around. I had some stuff that I needed to burn and get rid of. It was a beautiful day. And so I decided, woof, up it goes, stuck with the fire, made sure it was out, you know, all that funky stuff. If somehow you have to do that today, please, please, please be careful because there is a wildfire advisory. Call it a risk. That we need to keep an eye on. All right, one quick thing before we take a break. All right, for my fellow space geeks out there, did you watch it yesterday? Now, normally, you know, these SpaceX splashdowns, like, okay, these guys, they do this all the time. The one yesterday, of course, was special because these two astronauts that went to the space station up there in orbit, they were supposed to make an 8-day trip, but they had a problem with their capsule, and they ended up being there for 9 months. And I think I mentioned to the Ironhead yesterday, imagine going on like a week-long vacation and somehow you get stuck there for 9 months. What would you do? Ah! Well, it was Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore. They finally came home yesterday. Yay! And everything was flawless. I mean, everything was perfect. And lots of TV coverage last night. Again, these folks have been in space for many months. So when they landed on Earth, oh yeah, that gravity thing. Ooh! And so they needed help to stand up. Helpers were there as they got out of the capsule. They needed help to stand up because after 8 or 9 months of weightlessness, all of a sudden there's gravity once again. And it's like, oh, they're going to be in rehab. This is crazy. They're going to be in rehab for weeks. I think probably at the Johnston Space Center in Houston. And there were four astronauts that came home yesterday, not just two. And they're gonna be in rehab for weeks just to retrain their muscles and re-strengthen their muscles and make sure they're okay and health issues and all this other, you know, funky stuff. If you watched the coverage yesterday, again, they splashed down into the, call it what you want, Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America, you call it whatever you like, okay? I'll let that one to you. But the capsule there is bobbing up and down. Here come the rescue boats to make sure everything's okay. And this pod of dolphins shows up, and they're swimming around the capsule, which is just cool. I mean, it's just cool to see that, you know? Someone needs to invent artificial gravity. Now, again, I'm a lifelong Star Trek fan, and so artificial gravity is like, you know, par for the course. Pretty much any other sci-fi show you watch. All right, people, the characters are walking around the ship like they're walking around your house. Somebody needs to invent artificial gravity. All right, do we have any smart Penn State people out there that can somehow invent artificial gravity? Because if somebody can do that, they will become an instant billionaire. Instant. Boom. Because every spaceship that we send out to, I don't know, the moon, Mars, whatever, they'd all be using it. Come on, do we have some smart person out there that can invent artificial gravity? Come on, we need it. We need it right now. All right, right now, though, we're going to take a break. We'll have our sports segment, lots of open line time coming up in a bit.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Light Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Light Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Light Cummings Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Light Cummings Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valley's 98.7 The Fox.
Hey, some of us like classical music, all right? Well, this is kind of classical music, all right? Yeah, I like pulling this out. The Ironhead would never play this. He's always in charge of the board, which is cool. He would never play this. All right, I'm a classical music guy, and this is Hooked on Classics from folks who remember that from, like, what, 40 years ago? And this was a huge hit back in the 80s. Why doesn't somebody do a 2025 version of this? I don't know. God forbid, make it hip-hop. I'm not... make a hip-hop version of classical music. Somebody should do that. Why has nobody done that yet? Anyway, Scott here with you on Let's Talk for a Wednesday. Again, the Ironhead Jeff Byers in Philadelphia, for goodness sakes. What's he doing down there? Oh, yeah, that wrestling stuff, which starts tomorrow. So he is gone for a couple days. He'll be back with us in studio here on Monday. We'll be joining us by phone tomorrow and Friday, and, of course, we'll be talking wrestling. So we'll save that. Let's talk about sports here, all right? We have an open-line program. We're going to save that for a little bit later on, all right? The weather is certainly cooperating. Yes, it is. Let's start with high school action. Hard to believe that high school baseball is up and rolling with, not scrimmages, with games. Action yesterday. Bald Eagle area got a win over Bishop Guilfoyle in their season opener yesterday, 14-4. Braden Dubs had a good day, 3-for-4, a home run, drove in 3 runs. Wyatt Spackman had 3 RBI on a couple of hits. Connor Perry had 3 hits, 2 RBI, so a very good start for the Eagles. Belfont baseball team started yesterday, not so good. They lost to Dubois yesterday 10-2. Again, the season opener for both teams. Peyton Vankas had a couple of hits and RBI for the Red Raiders in that particular game. Now, the Penn State baseball team, I tell you what, somebody with Penn State baseball is blessed. All right, they've scheduled these home games when normally the weather around here would be, They had that home game, 2 weeks ago? And I remember when they changed the date, I thought, are they crazy? First week of March, are you nuts? And if you went to the game, it was a nice evening, wasn't it? Well, last night was gorgeous, right? Penn State baseball team cashed in as they beat St. Bonaventure 10-5 yesterday. Bryce Molinaro and Cole Wagner had a couple of hits, a couple of RBIs to lead the Nittany Lion offense. It's the 13th time this year that Penn State has gotten to double figures in runs. That's pretty good. This is a good team. They are 15-4 now on the season. It's interesting. They used 8 pitchers yesterday. Penn State used 8 pitchers yesterday. I don't know. Maybe they needed the work. And they combined, the 8 pitchers combined to strike out 16 Bonnies. All right. Maybe they just, all right, guys, let's get you all out of here. We'll get you in the act. Okay. Hey, it worked. Now, if you missed it last night, it's okay. Another home game this evening when the weather is probably going to be even a little better this evening. Penn State will play host to Lafayette. The start time for that game is 5:30. Again, the Penn State baseball games are free. Just show up and enjoy the game. All right, they're free. Now, Tuesday night games, again, all right. This gets the Ironhead all wound up. Dollar Dog Night. Yes, for some reason, it's only on Tuesdays. They could do 2 for Tuesday, but no, they do Dollar Dog Night. And he's like, okay, let's do an over-under yesterday. How many dogs? I'm thinking, I don't know. My guess was 6,200 something. Did he write that down? Wait, hold on, folks. Don't go anywhere. I thought he wrote it down. My guess was 6,200 something. His guess was 6,900 something. Well, if it's who's closest, he won. 3,784 fans showed up for the game last night. All right, Dollar Dog Night. They ate, and again, somebody counts this, 7,506 hot dogs they sold last night, and I assume they were all consumed. Okay. They've done 2 of these Dollar Dog Nights now, and they're hugely popular. So far for the 2 nights, again, somebody's counting, 13,466 hot dogs. That's a lot of hot dogs. Holy smokes. So there's no Dollar Dog Night tonight. Everything's normal tonight. But go to the game. Again, games are free. And Penn State's got a really good team this year. So go check them out at Medler Field tonight at 5:30. All right, let's go to golf. Penn State sophomore Alex Crimean finished tied for 4th. for the Nittany Lions at the Johnny O at Sea Island. I think that's a tournament. Only two rounds, unfortunately, which wrapped up yesterday at Sea Island Resort. As a team, Penn State was 13th in the field, 20 over 580. Nittany Lions shot 19 over 299 in the opening round. That's not great. They were just 1 over in their round yesterday. That is great. Third round, unfortunately, canceled, and that's it. They're done. Crimean collected his first top five finish as a Nittany Lion. He was tied for fourth at 3 under 137. All right, Penn State basketball's Ace Baldwin Jr., named second team All-District by the National Association of Basketball Coaches. That was announced yesterday. Now, Baldwin was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year the last 2 years. He became just the sixth Big Ten player to earn Big Ten Defensive Player of the Honors 2 years in a row, the first player from Penn State to do that, also earning an All-Big Ten Honorable Mention selection by both the coaches and the media. He was on the Big Ten All-Defensive team. Baldwin finished the season 14 points a game, 7.1 assists, 2.3 steals per game, making him one of just two players in the country to hit the numbers, 14 or more points a game, 7 or more assists a game, 2 or more steals a game. So congratulations to Ace. That's some great numbers there. Penn State men's gymnast Josh Carnes has earned his second Big Ten Gymnast of the Week honors of the season. That was announced yesterday. Carnes is from Erie. Posted a season-best score on the floor exercise and the parallel bars, in addition to an event win on the high bar, as Penn State got their first-ever Big Ten regular season title for the season with a win over number 4, Nebraska. Carnes scored in the parallel bars. That was the highest, or Carnes' score in the parallel bars was the highest recorded by any men's gymnast in NCAA action so far this season. His score was 14.60. So congratulations to Josh. Boy, some great numbers there. Penn State men's hockey racking up lots of awards. Sophomore Aiden Fink was a unanimous Big Ten first team all-conference selection. This was all announced by Big Ten yesterday afternoon. It's the first time since 2019 and 20 that Penn State has had recognition on either the first or the second team. Fink becomes the seventh Nittany Lion to earn first team recognition, the first ever to be unanimous. Aiden was a unanimous choice by all the voters to make the first team. Senior Simon Mack and junior Arseny Sergeyev were second teamers, Big Ten. Sophomore Reese Laubach got an honorable mention. Freshman Charlie Serrato and Cade Christensen both made the all-freshman team. Christensen was a unanimous selection. He is the, it's the second straight year Penn State has had a unanimous all-freshman pick. Last year, that was Aiden Fink. Fink becomes the first Nittany Lion to earn first-team all-conference recognition since Cole Hultz and Nate Sussis back in 2019 and 20. And I'm telling you, folks, keep the Ho-Bee chant. All right? The sort of NCAA national, like the Heisman Trophy of hockey, is the Ho-Bee Baker Award. And Aiden is right there. Now, the question is, will he become the first Penn Stater to win the Hobie? Well, stay tuned, all right? Penn State women's volleyball coach Katie Schumacher-Cawley announced yesterday the addition of Sarah Tischler as the Director of Operations for Women's Volleyball. Tischler comes to Happy Valley after spending the last three seasons in that role at the University of Alabama. So welcome to Sarah. And speaking of awards, Penn State's Athletic Director, Dr. Pat Kraft. I got to remember to add the doctor part. He is Earn Doctor. Now, no, he's not going to help you with your cold. He'll help you with sports, all right? Dr. Pat Kraft is one of the five finalists for the Sports Business Journal's Athletic Director of the Year Award. Now, again, Penn State, the entire athletic department, doing really good, okay? Like, across the board, really good. And for that, Dr. Kraft is up for Athletic Director of the Year. He is up against Boise State's Jeremiah Dickey, Vanderbilt's Candace Story Lee, Iowa State's Jamie Pollard, and Tennessee's Danny White. Now, we have to wait a while. The Sports Business Journal sponsors this award. They will not be announcing the winner until May 21st. So we've got 2 months or whatever to wait to see if Pat Kraft can be the winner on this thing. Again, you look at Penn State Athletics right now, they're in a good spot. The Director's Cup is handed out every year, and that takes all varsity sports into account, how well they did, and there's a point system and all this sort of stuff. Penn State right now leads the Big Ten in that category. They are number three nationally. Were number three nationally after the fall sports season. Now we have to wait for all the winter sports to finish, you know, basketball, wrestling, and so on, to, you know, kind of get an update. Of course, you know, you've got the big Beaver Stadium project, $700 million. You know, other things they're fixing up, which maybe don't get as much publicity. Greenberg Indoor Sports Complex is being fixed up. The soccer field, Jeffrey Field, is finally going through a renovation. No offense, that's been overdue. The indoor bubble and East Area locker room renovations are going to be rolling. 31 varsity athletic programs at Penn State. At the Greenberg Complex, they're doing a performance dining hall and wellness center. So again, if you're a Penn State varsity athlete of any sport, you are well taken care of, aren't you? Yes, you are. Okay. Hold that thought for just a moment. Let's see. NHL, I'm glad he's not here. I'm glad he's not here. Pittsburgh Penguins were rolling until last night. They lost to the Islanders 4-2. Penguins four games under 500 with, I think, 12 to play. Now, they've not been mathematically eliminated. I didn't check this morning. The only team that's mathematically eliminated so far is San Jose, and they're terrible. I mean, they're terrible. And they're already, boom, out. Even for a wild card spot, out they go. They're done. Penguins are not eliminated yet. They had won four in a row. Now, they lost last night. If they could find a way, I think the number's 12. 12 games left. If they could find a way to, say, win, I don't know, 10 of those 12, they could maybe still get a wild card spot. Now, the Ironhead's already given up on them. I haven't. Now, he's the big Penguins fan. I'm a passive fan. I haven't given up on you yet, Sidney. All right, come on, buddy. You can do this. Baseball, Grapefruit League action. The Pirates rallied past the Phillies yesterday 3-2. Nick York, Bryce Johnson, Javier Rivas all drove in runs in the ninth inning for the Buccos to get that win. That's a good win. Granted, spring training, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully, you already know, starting next Thursday, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, as the Buccos open up in Miami. Let's see. Our airtime next Thursday, plan ahead, 3:40. And then I believe first pitch is going to be about 4:10, 4:15 next Thursday. We're excited to be carrying the Pirates. We have heard from a number of you, either through our website and so on, hey, it's great the Pirates are back on the radio here in our particular area. You know, Paul Skeens, I mean, it's great. I'll be honest, I'm an Orioles fan. And the Orioles and Pirates actually don't play during the regular season this year. Actually, that's not true. They do play I think in September, but it's in Pittsburgh, and it's not till September. Ugh, that's it. Nothing. I was hoping for something in Baltimore, but okay. So listen for Pirates baseball. We are really excited for that, and we will be carrying virtually all of the games. Remember, 162 games in a baseball season. Once we get to like late August into September, of course, we love our high school football coverage here, and if it's a Friday night and there's a Pirates game, we may not be carrying those games. All right, simply because of our high school football coverage, that's out of my league. We'll let somebody else decide that. But we'll be carrying virtually all of the games starting next Thursday. That's pretty cool. One other quick note before we take a break. Back to Penn State. Now, have you done this yet, folks? All right, you're running out of time. The deadline is Friday. You want to get one of those new, what are they called, loge boxes at the renovated Beaver Stadium. The deadline to sign up to get one of those luxury boxes, they're kind of minor luxury boxes, but they're pretty, if you've seen the pictures, they're pretty nice. It's pretty cool. And you get, you know, parking passes and extra stuff and so on. Yeah, you're going to have to drop at least $50,000 to be considered for one of those. And the deadline to sign up is Friday. And to sign up, you have to plunk down $1,000. All right? So you better hurry up. Now, the athletic department, I haven't seen an update on this, and I expect we'll get one next week. The athletic department, I believe there are 30 of these. They expect to get more than 30 takers, each dropping at least 50 grand. It said 50 to 100 grand. If I give 100 grand, do I get like special food? Like food, you know, pizza flown in from Italy or something? We'll have to figure that out. I'm not sure. If they have more than 30, which is what they claim they're going to have, then they're going to have some type of a selection process. And yes, if you're a Nittany Lion Club member with points, you will move up the ladder compared to somebody else who doesn't have as many points. Yeah, okay, that's the way the system works. So, but you've got till Friday to sign up, folks. Get your checkbook out. I don't know if they take a credit card. Do a web search, you know, like through the athletic department website. GoPSUSports.com. The information is on there. You can find it. You know, if you have 50 grand, okay, good for you. I don't have 50 grand, so I'll be watching on television again. That's the way it goes. But again, you got to plunk down $1,000 right up front. And if somehow eventually you don't get chosen, it's okay. You get your money back. All right, not a big deal. And as far as I know, it's 50 grand or more for a year, for a season. But this won't be until 2027. But you got to start paying something now. Isn't capitalism great? Yes, it is. Let's take a break. We will come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
No, I'm not getting married. I'm already married. Long time. Again, this is from Hooked on Classics from 40 years ago. Yeah. All right, we know this is the wedding march, but this is classical music. Now, if you missed it earlier this week, we did have this little blurb. This happened over the weekend. Ellie Wheeler and Roman Bravo Young got engaged. Now, if you know your Penn State sports, Ellie Wheeler was a great Penn State women's soccer player. She's now in the pros. Roman Bravo Young, you wrestling people, I think you remember him, right? Two-time national champion. And apparently these two have been sweethearts. And so I saw the clip online, and it was pretty cool. I mean, I guess this was Ellie plays for Kansas City in the Women's Professional League now. And I guess this was after a game. Roman comes marching out on the field, or the pitch, and the teammates in the background are jumping up and down. They kind of know what's going to happen here. You can just tell this. Maybe they were tipped off or so on. And Ellie is like, uh-oh. She has that kind of look on her face. And Roman comes out, and he's got a box in his hand. And he goes down on one knee, and he proposes. And Ellie immediately says yes. And they hug and kiss and all this stuff. And the teammates are jumping up and down. And Roman pulls out this rock, and he puts the rock on Ellie's finger, and they kiss again, and then Roman kind of goes off the screen. Ellie runs to her teammates, and they're all jumping up and down, and she's showing off her ring, and that's just cool. All right? Two Penn State athletic greats are getting married. That's just neat. That feel-good feeling. All right. Scott here with you on a Wednesday Let's Talk program. Again, we've got busy shows with lots of guests tomorrow and Friday. Today it's open line. I'd love for you to be the guest. And so between now and 10 o'clock, I'm going to bait you a little bit. Like, come on, pick up that phone. I've got one particular topic that'll probably get some people fired up, but we'll hold that thought for later on. Let's mention the phone number, 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. Again, any topic you'd like to bring up, that's perfectly fine. All right. Let's mention this one right off the top because this is kind of important, especially if you're out and about driving this week. Center Daily Times had a story on this. Is this yesterday or Monday? I forget which one it was. It was yesterday. Okay. Again, they're starting to do this work on the interchange between Interstate 80 and Interstate 99, which if you've ever used that intersection, whatever you want to call it, interchange, it's a mess. I mean, it's been a mess for a very long time. All right. It's a mess. All right. Just, you know, it's kind of crammed together. And the pronouncement was made a while ago. Boy, we got to fix that up. I mean, you got two major interstates and this clunky interchange just is not working. It's going to take time to be fully completed, but they're starting to do some work. And apparently, tomorrow and Friday, they're going to be demolishing a bridge. Now, be careful, because if you head in this direction, you are going to hit some detours. Now, I don't know about you folks. I don't keep track of mile markers. It's like, okay, whatever. Mile marker 160 on Interstate 80. All right, there's a bridge or like an overpass or whatever there. Apparently, tomorrow and Friday, they're going to be destroying half of the bridge. They're going to be just demolishing it. And so there are going to be some detours in place. I guess this would be tomorrow and Friday while they do this work. So I won't begin to tell you where all the detours are because it depends on what direction you're coming from and so on. Just be ready, though, tomorrow and Friday when you head to that interchange, 80 and 99, you're going to be hitting detours. And I'm assuming maybe from any direction you're coming, you're going to hit some kind of a detour. So if you're coming in 80 from the west, they're going to detour you. 80 from another direction, detour. I-99 north, detour. Maybe coming from the other, you know, coming from the north and coming down, there's going to be a detour. So be ready for that. Don't get angry. According to this, this is going to be a couple of days. As they do this work on this bridge, and gradually, I mean, when they're done, I've seen pictures of this. When they're done, it's going to be great. I mean, it's going to be way, 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 way better than the clunky interchange that we've all been dealing with now for how many years? A lot of years. All right. So, be on the lookout for that. If you're going to be in that general zone, 80 and 99, tomorrow and Friday, you're going to hit something. You're going to hit a detour and just maybe plan ahead, figure out where the detours are, try to avoid them. All right, and that's obviously, smart driving. Speaking of driving, now, a couple days ago on the show, we were talking about, somehow we got talking about energy, solar, wind, the future and all this stuff, and EV cars and the electric grid, which still, our electric grid isn't nearly ready for, all right, one man's opinion, isn't nearly ready for what some people want to do with green energy. Electric cars, electric trucks, electric this, that, and the other thing. Our electric grid is just not prepared to handle what could happen if we suddenly all threw ourselves into this. All right, it just isn't. All right, we can talk about federal government spending till we're blue in the face, and lately we've been sort of doing that, haven't we? Yeah, okay. If there's one area where the federal government would make very wise investment of our tax dollars, it would be fixing up, modernizing in some cases, and firming up our national electric grid, which is actually a series of grids. And that's part of the problem, maybe. It's like there's Northeast and Texas has one and like a patchwork. We need to do something about that. For those people that are serious about green energy and so on, that should have been step one. And still we're sitting back waiting. Like, okay, we're going to do something here. If we have, all right, take a look at what happened on Sunday here. How many of you have no power? Raise your hand. Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I get it. All right, you don't want to do that. All right, stuff like that. Now, granted, Sunday was a bit of an extreme situation with the big wind and so on, but that kind of fits in the same realm. Our electric grid is flimsy in a lot of places. It just is. All right, so billions of dollars to fix the electric grid, that's something that would help everybody. Everybody would be helped by that. That would be a wise expenditure, and yet, for some reason, Congress, White House, still, okay. Now, you might say, well, the Biden Inflation Reduction Act, again, one of the worst-named acts in history, and nothing to do with inflation reduction. All right, if some money was in there, why hasn't it moved over here, all right, like done something? Anyway, hopefully wise people eventually will get down there. And I'll save that thought for next hour, okay? But I caught this story this morning. One reason why a lot of people do not want to buy an electric vehicle, all right, we all know this, all right? The electricity, the charge in the battery runs out, and then it's, okay, how long does it take to recharge this car? Well, if you're in your garage at home, and you have the fancy, hookup thing. Okay, great. You can let your car charge all night, and by morning, hopefully you're all charged up and you're raring to go again. I mean, that's great. If I would ever get an EV, obviously, boom, I would get one of those hookup things for my garage. That no-brainer material. Now, again, if a whole lot of people got those things, it would put an instant stress on our electrical grid system. And is it able to hold it? That's still a question mark. All right, I think the answer is, well, maybe. Okay, that's not a good enough answer. Maybe. All right, that doesn't work. But one of the big things, if you're out and about, for instance, if you want to take an electric car on a long ride, like a vacation, and you're driving someplace, the fear is that, okay, when the charge starts going down, what do I do? All right. Do I have to pull over at a restaurant or pull over at some charging station and then it takes hours or something to charge my car? Well, what am I going to do for hours? You know, this is crazy. The recharge time up till now has been a real concern. Well, now we have this story. Now, we'll take this with a grain of salt. In China, yes, China, their big electric vehicle company is called BYD. And you can, I don't know what BYD stands for. You can fill it in as you wish at your end. But they are making a claim now, BYD, that they have a new setup with their electric cars, or they're going to be with their electric cars, where they will be able to recharge the battery on an electric car in about 5 minutes. Now, that's the claim. Actually, the claim says as much time as it takes to refuel a gasoline car. Yeah, 5 minutes. Yeah, that'd be about right. That's their claim. Now, if that's legit, that is a game changer. Okay, that really is. 5 minutes to, like, fully, I guess, recharge your car. And then, woof, off you go again. Now, granted, this is a Chinese company. I'm sorry, this is one man's opinion. I'm immediately skeptical of anything I see coming out of China because I'm wondering, can this actually be believed? All right, so over time, I'm getting this from Axios, by the way. Over time, we'll see if this is legit. 300 miles of driving range in 5 minutes. Now, if that's true, that's huge. All right, that is huge. Now, that's bad news for us, if you will, because, again, China's been working hard to get these BYD cars literally all over the world. They're cheaper. They're trying to dump them. And so if it's Tesla or GM or Ford or the European companies and so on, you know, they're like, whoa, 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 all these cheap Chinese cars, you know, we're going to dump, we're going to go out of business. And that's a real concern. But they're all kind of, you know, working on this stuff. Now, if this claim from BYD is correct, again, this is big. Problem is there's a lot of question marks. Like, it's one thing to make a claim. Okay, can you back it up? Like, okay, what kind of battery only charges up in just 5 minutes? And what kind of charging stuff do you need to make your 5 minute charge? How big is this battery? There's a lot of questions involved with this. But if this is legit, we're going to see more about this story, so be ready. I have a daughter who just recently got an EV. She got an electric car. Her old car was having difficulties, and it was time to get something different because the car was becoming a money pit, if you will. It was time to get something different. Right now, at least, or maybe at least at the dealer she went to, she got a killer, just a killer lease deal for this pretty nice Honda electric vehicle. And when she told me at first, I'm like, seriously? All right, this doesn't sound right, you know? Now, it was a lease, not a buy. It was a lease. But she's paying not that much money a month for, I think it's a two-year period. And then with a lease, at the end of 2 years, you decide, okay, I'm going to buy the car now, you know, buy out the rest of the car, or I'm going to switch to another car, switch to another vehicle and, you know, maybe do this again or something like that. But the deal she got was, when she told me at first, I didn't believe it. Like, oh, come on. Then she's like, no, Dad, this, and she filled me in. I'm like, okay, sweetheart, that's a good deal. You got a good deal. And I haven't seen this vehicle yet. I want to go check it out maybe in a couple of weeks and so on. She lives in another part of the state. And then I've been in a Tesla once, all right, and that was going to an airport, all right. It was an Uber driver driving a Tesla very fast. This guy was, this was not here, by the way. This guy was, I'm like, buddy, how fast are you going in this car? Okay. And at one point he had no hands on the wheel and I'm in the back seat like, you want to put your hands on the wheel so I don't go, I'm kind of old school. I want to check out this electric vehicle to see what it's like. And, whoop. Get that hold on. All right. Somebody fooled me. I want to see what this vehicle is like. And, you know, up till now, I've been a skeptic on EVs, but I'll see what she has to say. Does she like it? The recharging? And then we'll follow this BYD story because they're working on batteries. If they can crack that, the problem, okay, EVs are going to, and they make it affordable. Oh, yeah, there's a something. All right, they make it affordable. Now, again, these BYD Chinese cars are cheap because the Chinese government subsidizes them to make them cheap. Gee, I wonder why they're doing that. Yeah, figure it out. They want to take over the industry. So the rest of the car industry here in America, over in Europe and so on, they're all watching this. Like, okay, what's going to happen there? All right, then we'll see what goes. All right, let's take a break. Again, we've got open line time. Two main things we'll talk about in the next hour. Yes, politics. Come on, you people love politics. And colleges and universities are this is getting very interesting now. From a buyer's standpoint, if you will, kind of an outsider standpoint. And so we'll take your calls as well here. Let's talk on 98.7 The Fox. Okay, Mr. Jingle, go ahead.
Get that feeling. Get that feeling. This is The Fox.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org. Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your sports radio. Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
Can you tell the 80s vibe this morning, huh? Love the Pretenders. Scott loves Chrissy Hynde. She was hot back in the 80s and one heck of a singer. So, hey, welcome to Let's Talk for a Wednesday morning program. Scott here again, the Ironhead Jeff Byers. Can we say today he's vacationing in Philadelphia because the NCAA wrestling tournament doesn't start till tomorrow? I mean, come on, starts at noon tomorrow. And so he went down with the team, of course, yesterday, you know, getting ready and all that sort of stuff. He will join us tomorrow and Friday morning for a segment. Of course, we're going to talk wrestling. So the action starts at noon tomorrow. So we'll get a preview on tomorrow morning's show. And then Friday morning, you know, kind of a recap of day one, which is busy, looking ahead to day two and so on. So he will rejoin. He'll be back in the studio again on Monday. All right, there we go. In the meantime, open line time, folks. I'd love to hear from you. I've got two, call them Cracker Jack topics here, and we'll see what you have to think about these. But first, the phone number, 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266 to join me on the program this morning. All right, let's see. Colleges or politics? Politics or colleges? Let's start with the colleges. All right, let's start with that one. Actually, first thing, I'm kicking myself. Something happened last week, and I totally missed it. I'm not sure how, because we've talked about this on the show a little bit. Totally missed it. Last week, primarily in schools, was National Civic Learning Week. This is about teaching civics in schools. What do kids, like teenagers and stuff, know when they get out of school? Do they really know how our system works? Do they really know? And I think in a lot of cases, the answer is maybe not. You know, like our system of government and how all the department or the checks and balances work and all this sort of stuff. So last week, they actually had a week for this, National Civic Learning Week. I actually reached out to, there's a Pennsylvania branch of this. I reached out to them yesterday with an apology, and I've said, hey, we'd love to have a guest on sometime. So maybe in a couple of weeks or something, we'll be talking about civics with a guest. We'll see how that goes. Colleges and universities all over the place are struggling, and they're struggling mightily. Now, if you follow this at all, you know that. Penn State's $90 million deficit. What about branch or Commonwealth campuses? Some of them are going to close. This is a foregone conclusion, and it has been for a while before, last week, you know, an announcement and so on. We knew this. I mean, it was obvious. It was right in front of us. The question is, which branch campuses, how many branch campuses? That's the only thing. And I've seen some stories here in the last few days. Well, how's Penn State going to decide? You know, Old Main, how are they going to figure it out? Well, you know, enrollment obviously has something to do with it. Location probably has something to do with it, and so on. You know, if you've got, well, let's see, what did I mention? Up in the northeastern part of the state, there are three campuses. There's Penn State Scranton, Penn State Wilkes-Barre, Penn State Hazleton. Now, and if you're from the Northeast or you've driven the northeastern part of the state, there's really not that much distance, really, between all three of those campuses. Really isn't. Do they really need three campuses in Northeast PA? Maybe one would do. Now, Penn State Scranton, in this case, is the biggest of those three. Maybe it's them. All right? Now, they're the furthest. What do I say? Furthest north, Hazleton south, Wilkes-Barre is, I guess, sort of in between, if you will. Do they need three? Of course they don't need three. All right, one man's opinion, all right? They don't need three. One will do. In the greater Pittsburgh area, there are, I believe, is it four? There are four campuses surrounding Pittsburgh. Do they need four? Maybe two would be fine? Frankly, maybe one instead of four would be fine. Just a thought. So colleges and universities are struggling mightily on money. It's not just Penn State. I mean, this is across the country. A lot of smaller private colleges have just up and closed, you know, including some schools that have been open, that were open for 100 years, 150 years. Done. Closed. They can't make it anymore. And then you add another variable in the mix. And if you follow schools and numbers and so on, you've heard of this already. It's called the enrollment cliff. All right. What does that mean? Enrollment cliff. That means starting right about now, or maybe 2026, maybe it's next year, the number of kids coming out of high school is going to start going down. Population. All right. Let's do some math. The 2008-2009 recession was bad, and it was bad across the board, and we are still feeling the ripples of that event from 2008 into 2009. We're still feeling it, because what happened, the numbers show it, the Census Bureau and stuff like that, numbers show it. After the 2008-2009 recession, Americans started having fewer kids. It was a decision. It's not an accident. It's not health. They've decided we're not going to have as many kids. And so in my old job that I used to do, I worked primarily with schools, I started seeing this over a dozen years ago. Numbers in central and northern PA starting to go down. All right, like enrollment numbers starting to go down at schools. In some cases, there are some schools, well, in some cases, there are some schools that closed, just up and closed. Either private schools or public schools as part of a consolidation, they just, they're not there anymore. All right, gone. Here, you know, in the greater State College area, things are fine. You start to go out literally in all directions, north, south, east, and west of here, not great. Huntingdon, no offense, I love Huntingdon. Huntingdon is slowly dying. Huntingdon County is slowly dying, just not as many people. If you go over to Clearfield, we'll get to a caller, we'll get to you in just a second. You go over Clearfield Way, it's the same thing. All right, some schools have closed over there because of consolidations and such. Their numbers are going down. We had a guest, last week from the Center for Rural Pennsylvania, and that guest told us that, you know, the future projections are just down. They're just going down. And so the enrollment cliff means that starting this year or next year, the number of kids, like graduates coming out of high school, is going to start nationally, is going to start going down. So for colleges and universities, that means fewer people to choose from, and that puts them in a bit of a spot. All right, we'll continue that thought. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Howdy.
Another great conversation.
Thank you.
Okay, just wanted to go back to the first experiment of modern age, which was Russia, which then became the Soviet Union. And under Lenin, they deconstructed the family, and they brought something online like abortion. And the women went into the factories, what little they had at that point, but they put a lot of effort into it. So here you go, the fall of the wall, the fall of the Soviet Union. And what has it been now since 92?
30 years.
20 years.
Well, over,
yeah.
30 years, yeah.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Your math's better than mine. and guess what? They still have a population problem. Russia's still one of the worst for, I guess if you keep track of it, abortions per capita. I guess I'm getting that. Once that genie's out of the bottle, you know, if you don't have the kind of the, what we used to call the classic family, it's hard to get people to commit to raising the next generation. And, I mean, there are certain countries, I think Russia's one of them, they actually are paying people, you know, to consider marriage and having a family.
Yes. I've seen those stories, yes.
Yeah, so it's still a hard sell. So I don't know where the bottom of this is. Now, on our end, we've been suffering the same consequence as Russia, formerly the Soviet Union, but they were the first to do it. And our strategy's been, guess what? Open borders. Now, I think that's still our strategy. We just want to know who's coming. You know, we prefer not to take the family, prisoners who say they're going to have a family.
Yeah.
We prefer to take engineers who want to have a family. But, I'm not quite sure. So it's gotten all mishmash. But, what's saving us is hopefully legal immigration. But it's still a hard sell. Once a society buys into materialism, there's no doubt about it. It's a sacrifice. But on the other hand, the rewards of having a family are tremendous. So, I don't know. I don't think enough people actually are out there pitching having a family.
Well, yeah. I mean, oh boy, I could really get into trouble here, and I really don't want to do that. I don't want to badmouth feminism, all right? That's not my gig. I raised two daughters, for goodness sakes. But, you know, this idea, well, you know, you don't have to have kids. You get out there and work your career and so on. Okay, but we're now seeing part of that strategy where younger people, and the stats are out there, younger people have decided, family stuff, we're not much interested in that.
Right.
Now, it's their life. They can do that, all right? That's fine. But when we're planning, when we're planning for the future with things like Social Security, where we need current workers to, you know, pay in to help pay the coverage of Social Security for older people, when those numbers are going down, that's bad.
On that front, believe it or not, I think one of the oldest populations is Japan. And they were one of the first to, for the whatever the reason, Japanese folks live pretty, to be pretty old. And they don't have the wherewithal to take care of the elderly because it's an inverted pyramid demographically.
Well, I tell you what, I don't have it with me, but I remember it. I've mentioned on the show before, there's a website I really like. It's called Visual Capitalist. The website is visualcapitalist.com, all one word. These are journalists. They take dry, boring numbers, and they turn them into graphics, which are actually interesting to read. Check it out sometime. They come out with a different graphic every day, every weekday. Fascinating stuff. And normally it's dry, boring numbers, but these folks make it look interesting, like cool. They had one that came out this week about international population and where it's headed or where they think it's headed. Now, you mentioned Japan. You're right. Japan's population numbers, according to this, they're going to tank like right down. And China is going to be right
behind them.
Right behind them. Chinese,
and that's,
according,
that's what's so stupid about this current tariff war. Believe it or not, we're in a better shape than China is with regard to demographics.
Yes.
So if we just, like, keep some self-restraint and don't blow ourselves up, China's already done it. They've got the ticking time bomb.
Yeah, the Chinese government is really wrestling with this problem right now. There are a lot of younger Chinese. They're just not having kids. All right, they just stopped. And so their demographic is getting older and older. Now, granted, China has like 1.4 billion people. That's still a lot of people.
Dig into that, Scott. I think, China has a... the American economists tend to build all our fantasy on paper, you know, with getting back to pyramids. Pyramid schemes, you know, the... all the ins and outs of selling this to the next guy, to the next guy, to the next. But China, actually, they actually build stuff. And you can look up the term ghost cities. And I guess that they've actually, to attract the investors, they probably have exaggerated their population. So I think the consequence of their falling population has already taken effect. They're just hiding it.
Well, according to this one projection, and these guys, this website, they do cool stuff. By the year 2100, China's population will be half what it is today. That's amazing.
From what I've read, so if they're saying they're 1400. I just read an article recently that says, no, it's probably closer to less than a billion. So they've already taken a third off of that official government statistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to hide the reality of what we're just talking about.
Now, our population here, according to this graphic, according to this story, will continue to go up, but slowly. Now, it doesn't say how it's going to go up. It's just going to go up slowly. The area of the world we really need to keep an eye on is Africa.
Right.
There's a slew of countries in Africa. They expect their populations to go through the roof.
Right. Unfortunately, yes, most of the growth is in Africa, and
what are all those?
Have the modern technologies to support that population.
What are all those people? What are all those people going to do?
Well, that's it. They tend to do things very simplistic. I don't even want to use that term, but very hands-on, which might be like burning your forest down to get some fertilizer value out of it, which is not a good long-term strategy.
Yeah.
So they do stuff like that, just like you said, to meet the immediate demands of the growing population. So really, if you want to get back to Mr. Elon Musk and Trump and all, you could take some of the CIA out of that, what was it called, USAID?
USAID,
Yeah, if we actually used it to not just put a well in and help people plant some corn or whatnot in Africa, but to develop the kind of the infrastructure you need to maintain the modern societies.
Because the Chinese...
That would be a good investment.
Yeah,
okay, getting back to our war with the Chinese, guess who is investment?
Yeah, the Chinese are already there. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, we're on the same page. We must be reading the same newspapers.
Well, I mean, there's been a number of stories out there about this. And the 21st century, you know, the rest of the 21st century, from a macro viewpoint, we need to keep an eye on Africa. That is going to become a key continent.
Right. They have huge resources. They're going to have the labor market, And I think Jeff's right. The third world war has already begun. It's in a Cold War phase right now. It's being played out in the economic or marketplaces.
Yeah.
And Africa is the continent, and China has taken a very aggressive investment role, and we still tend to rely on, I guess I'll just call it propaganda. You know, whether it be our music and our pop culture and our kind of odd investments to make sure we have, they're still dictators at the end of the day, but to make sure that the dictators on our team versus their team.
No.
But I actually think I like the Chinese strategy. I don't know. We can do this better than the Chinese. I want to invest in capital, invest in people, invest in infrastructure, invest in manufacturing. And I would love for the United States to play a bigger role in that sort of approach.
All right. We got to take a break, but I appreciate your call. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Yeah, we got to take a break right here. Yeah, all that's right. Africa is a place to watch over these next 75 years. It's supposed to explode in population. Can they handle it? Not a lot of democracies, like real democracies right now in Africa. Ooh. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to go back. We're going to go back to universities because I've got some interesting numbers here. Penn State is clearly looking at this. They have to be. They better be. We'll take a break. Come right back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
The Jolly Roger!
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment. just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Oh, a sports game favorite. Go Metallica. Come on, we love this. I was not a Yankees fan. I'm not. Sorry, Orioles. But when Mariano Rivera would come out of the bullpen and they'd be playing this tune, even me, I'm thinking, oh, this is really cool. And Mario Rivera was pretty darn good, all right? Let's talk here for a Wednesday. Scott here with you again. Jeff Byers, he's away for a couple days. That wrestling stuff down in Philadelphia, not that far. Gee, I wonder if they're going to have a Penn State crowd in Philadelphia. I think that's a gimme. All right, there we go. So he'll be back in studio on Monday. Again, he'll be joining us briefly a segment tomorrow and Friday, talking wrestling. All right. Again, we have guests tomorrow and Friday. Got some good stuff coming up. In the meantime, we just had a guest. We call it a caller right there. How about you be a guest, all right? 814-954-7266 if you'd like to chime in. Yeah, we were talking about colleges and universities, then we kind of moved in another direction, and that's fine. Again, it's not easy. Old Main is going through tough times right now, but they're not alone. Old Main's and a whole bunch of schools out there across the country are going through a tough time right now. Again, this enrollment cliff, the number of graduates coming out of high school is going to start going down. Not precipitously down, but just like a little bit down for the next a lot of years, apparently, unless something changes. But even, I mean, goodness gracious, if people suddenly decided today, hey, let's have more kids, it's still going to take, what, 17, 18 years, whatever, for those kids to grow up. So in this interim, I mean, it's some tough decisions have to be made. Did you see this on Monday? All right, some of these schools also struggling with this, if you will. They're going to start throwing their weight around a little bit. Now, I'm not surprised by this. I guess I'm wondering why they haven't started doing this already. Monday, Harvard. Yeah, the poor Ivy League's been taking on the chin lately, right? They're looking bad in the news all the way around. Their costs, of course, have always been high. Yes, they've offered grant money to a lot of students, but still, that's a pricey education. Harvard, if you missed this, announced on Monday. So if you're a parent, you might want to listen to this, maybe. They are going to make tuition free for all students. Well, hold on. For all students, for any household making up to $200,000 a year. Now, that would be the giant majority of America. All right, right? All right, you, me, I'd qualify. My kids are grown, but I'd qualify for that. Most other folks would as well. Free tuition for all households making up to $200,000 a year, and for all of those households that only get to the $100,000 mark a year, this is household, free tuition, free room, free board, free expenses. In other words, free to go to Harvard. Now, you might be thinking, oh, what the... Excuse me? How on earth can they do that? Well, it's called an endowment. And I suppose every college, university, whatever, has an endowment. Kind of money just sort of put away, put over there for use with, well, I'm not sure what the use is for. All right. Harvard has announced what they're going to do theirs for, because Harvard has the largest college endowment on planet Earth. And that would include European universities and the whole bit, including Oxford and Cambridge in England, very highly esteemed, long time, centuries old schools. Harvard has the largest endowment in the world. They're sitting on $50 billion, with a B, dollars. $50 billion. Yikes. That's a lot of money. And they see this enrollment cliff obviously coming. They're seeing, you know, the Ivy League taking on the chin and the media and crazy protests and all this. It's not been a good time for the Ivy League. But now Harvard's decided, hey, we've got this big stick. Let's start using it, all right, instead of just sitting on it. $50 billion. Now, to get into Harvard, obviously not just anybody gets into Harvard, okay? I've got one story here that says the acceptance rate last year was 3.5%. So, in other words, only 3.5% of people who applied for Harvard actually got in. Ooh. Yes, competitive, which we knew. I mean, there's no surprise there. Now, I did a little digging. Penn State have an endowment? Yes, they do. Now, again, Harvard is $50 billion. Penn State's endowment is about $4.5 billion. In other words, not even close to Harvard, all right? And let me pop this up. There's a top 20 list. What did I do with that? There it is. This is from U.S. News and World Report. They have a top 20 list, schools with the biggest endowments. Now, two things that are not a surprise at all. Number one, most of the top 20, or a lot of the top 20, is Ivy League. All right, they've got money, all right? Virtually all of these schools are private, not public. Penn State, of course, is public, all right? Harvard's number one, $50 billion. Yale, what a surprise. Number two, although they're down at $40 billion. Stanford, private, out in California, about $36 billion. Princeton, of the Ivy League, $33 billion. MIT, private, $23 million. Penn, down in Philadelphia, Ivy League, $20 billion. Actually, the public ones are interesting. Texas A&M, all right, is public and sitting on a lot of money. They got a $17 billion endowment down at Texas A&M. I would love to know how that happened. Texas A&M, really? There's Michigan, all right, from the Big Ten. Michigan, $17 billion. Must be nice. Notre Dame is on this list. $17 billion endowment. Whoa, okay, Notre Dame. Interesting, go Irish. Then there's Columbia, Duke, Washington University in St. Louis. That one gets overlooked by a lot of people, but that's a good school, and they have an $11 billion endowment. It's like, what are they doing over there? Northwestern. Private school, Big Ten, yes, private school. Northwestern has a $10 billion endowment. Emory University in Atlanta. A lot of people don't even think about Emory because, you know, sports, it's like, not that much. They've got an $11 billion endowment. Johns Hopkins. Scott here has a bit of a soft spot for Johns Hopkins. They helped me out with my hearing issue, which I appreciate. But they have a $10 billion endowment. Maybe I should go back and say, what did you charge me? Excuse me? Look at that, $10 billion. All right. Vanderbilt is on the list. That's private. The other public school is Virginia. All right. Virginia's sitting on about $10 billion of endowment. Top 20 again, Cornell up in New York, University of Chicago, Dartmouth, Ivy League. That's your top 20. Dartmouth, by the way, comes in at number 20, and their amount is, Their amount is about $8 billion. Again, Penn State right now, $4.5 billion is their endowment. I want to see how many of these, maybe especially this top 20 here, how many of this top 20, they're going to follow Harvard because they realize that getting kids in their school is becoming more competitive than probably ever, ever, ever. And the bottom line is get kids in school. Get them to sign up and come here. Now, Penn State, outstanding public institution. We all know that. We know it. But what ultimately gets people, including a lot of people from out of state who pay more money, what gets them to sign up to come to Penn State? You ever thought about that? Why do people come here? All right, and we could argue about the branch campuses and the people that go there. I think I believe I saw this in a story which confirms most of the people that go to a Commonwealth campus or branch campus are from that area. In other words, they commute. In some cases, they have to commute. Maybe they don't even have housing, but they commute, and they're very close to that campus. It's not like somebody from far away is going to, I don't know, Penn State Mount Alto or Penn State York or one of the other ones, okay? Probably not. In some cases, now, you know, Penn State Altoona, for instance, has four-year programs. Penn State Barrand up in Erie has four-year programs. You could go to that school and stay. You'd be a Penn Stater, but you would stay at that school. You would never come up here. It's not like the old idea, you go to a branch campus for 2 years, and then you matriculate here. A lot of kids, I think, still do that. But the branch campus is primarily drawing kids from somewhere nearby. These out-of-state kids who come to Penn State and pay a lot more money to do it. Remember, Penn State is one of the most expensive public schools in the country. That's not something to brag about. All right? It's not. Why do kids come to Penn State? That's something to think about. And for all the complaints, all right, this is an opinion. For all the complaints we do about the, you know, Penn State sports and the amount of money they spend, $700 million to pick up Beaver Stadium, is it really worth it? You know, all this other stuff they're spending money on now. Meanwhile, the university is $90 million in debt, and they're going to have to close branch campuses. Wait a minute, something's out of balance here. Is it? What draws students to a school? Part of it is proximity. All right. When I was, you know, graduated high school, my parents had no money to give me. All right. And I got not much scholarship money. I just didn't. This is 40 something plus years ago. And so I ended up going to a 4-year school that was within driving distance. And I commuted to school for 4 years because that's all I could afford. All right. And there's a lot of people still in that situation. Why do people come to Penn State? Well, the next time you want to complain about, you know, luxury boxes, I guess, at Beaver Stadium, and I've joked about $100 parking spaces, again, hopefully, please don't let that happen, athletic department, please, please, 40 is already too expensive for a parking spot for a few hours, one man's opinion, but clearly, at this, again, an opinion, sports is a drawing card for students to come to this school. And so if you're going to invest in sports, football, you know, lots of other sports and so on, and that's able to draw more kids here because I'm a Penn Stater, let's go Nittany Lions, come on, Nick Singleton, come on, buddy, come on, Drew Aller, yeah, you, all those guys, all right? Yeah, wrestling too, but, all right, obviously football. All right, caller, hold on. Obviously, football is the one that gets the most attention. All right, it does. So next time you want to complain, oh, they're spending too much money on football, it's a drawing card to get more kids just to come to this campus. And it's going to be even more competitive in the future, especially with schools like Harvard. And some, I'm assuming some of these other schools are going to start throwing their money around. And it's like, okay, this is how we're going to get kids. We're going to make it free, free, free. Everything's free because they're going to pull from their rather massive endowments. How do other schools compete with that when the number of graduates is going to start to slip and go down? That's a deep question. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, Scott, Jim for the second time. So what draws people to Penn State? Now, I recall the second most common language in State College was Chinese. Pretty sure they aren't coming from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Harrisburg. So what I would contend, what Penn State offers is engineering. And unfortunately, the United States, in that great speech that George Bush Sr. gave, the New World Order, we invested our manufacturing as a nation in places like China. And the Chinese, for all their wisdom, have sent their young, intelligent people to Penn State since then. Now, so that's a completely different business model than the Ivy Leaguers. I could go into it, but
no,
I think the Ivy Leaguers have gone full circle on their pedagogy. They were the first to adopt the Prussian model in around 1840, but it sounds like they're going back to classical education now. And so when you want to get into a place like Yale or Harvard, it's not based on your SATs anymore. It's based on your interview. How well do you present yourself? Can you formulate an idea? Can you engage in a debate? And I'm not quite sure where Penn State is when it comes to enrollment and standards and whatnot. But I actually do prefer the classical education. But on the other hand, I greatly appreciate the impact that Penn State has made, not just on Pennsylvania, but the entire world and its engineering programs.
I can't disagree with any of that. Penn State's engineering programs, they're not rated number one and so on, but they're up there. Okay, they're up there. I'm thinking more about, how do I describe this? More of the standard high school senior graduate student. All right. And they're not, you know, geniuses or anything, but they want to go to a good 4-year school. Where do I go? And why should I go there?
Well, our lifetime, do you remember, like, so when I graduated in 82, I had a degree in my back pocket. I automatically qualified because I was college educated to put my, foreman to become a police officer and become a number of other public servants. But, you know, what I'm getting at is there was a period in time where you kind of learned the job on the job and you didn't need a college education. You just kind of needed the recommendation. And now since then, 82, all those jobs have now require a college education. I think that's where the expansion has been. And many of the colleges, you know, statewide colleges, jobs that were considered based on a recommendation, just you would learn it on the job as a policeman. I'm not saying a nurse, but there were a number of jobs that didn't require a college education years ago that do now.
And if we throw the wild card in there, which we've discussed, all right, in recent years, especially since the pandemic, I think, a lot of kids and their parents are looking at the cost of college and saying, is this really worth it? My kid do just as well learning a trade, going to a trade school, tech school, and so on, which has a much lesser price tag?
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's another consideration there. I think a lot of parents have been astute to that for the last probably 20 years, but getting into a ditch when it's 10 degrees below zero and patching a municipal water system. Not everybody's got. That takes a certain amount of stoutness. I'm not saying that there's a lot of stuff you got to know too, but you got to be tough. And what I'm saying is, those job opportunities exist, but you also got to be not just smart, but you got to be tough. So I'm not sure everybody makes that bill.
Well, I'm going to keep calling this the age of disruption because, boy, is it. Holy moly. Hey, I appreciate it. We've got to take a break. Appreciate your call once again. All right. Thanks very much. It is the age of disruption in so many different ways. And, yes, it drives us all a little crazy. All right. Gives us a headache. We want to go out and protest. Now, when we come back, our last segment, we'll do a little political talk. There was a protest yesterday in the neighborhood. So if you missed the story, we'll talk about that. This is, buckle your seatbelt time. It really is. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Hope you're enjoying the program. We'll have some more when we come back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Jolly Roger!
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming seasons. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Lyon Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lyon Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lyon Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lyon Cummings Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lyon Cummings Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lyon Cummings Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
All right, now I could do a quiz here. Again, this is Hooked on Classics from the 80s. Love this stuff. Can you name the composer, the classical composer? I should have a prize or something. If you can name the classical composer without the beat in the back, that's the Hooked on part. All right, that's not the way the composer wrote it. Anybody have a guess? 814-954-7266. I'll keep you in suspense until we don't have many minutes left. 814-954-7266 if you know the composer. All right, we'll stop there. I got to remember to tell you who it is if you don't know. We'll tell you before we wrap up here in about 5 minutes. All right. Again, we've got busy shows tomorrow and Friday. We have guests tomorrow, a guest talking about the presidents of Penn State. Special presentation this weekend, which I'm told is already maxed out. You can't even go. They've filled up the venue. So we're going to have our guest tomorrow talk about that. That'll be interesting. Friday, local state representative Paul Takac is going to join us. He's been on the program, of course, before. We'll talk over state issues, but especially Rockview. And that whole, oh boy, that's a big one that's been dropped. Now, again, Rockview is in Mr. Takak's district, so essentially it's been dropped in his lap, so to speak. There are some upcoming town halls where people can go, and from anywhere, by the way, and, you know, speak your piece and all that sort of stuff. The first one, if I recall, is Friday evening. We're going to have Mr. Takak on Friday morning to talk more about that. All right, we have a few minutes. Sorry, just real quick on politics. All right, I talk too much. Again, Donald Trump. I've said this publicly, have I not? I think I have, yeah. Donald Trump has run for president 3 times. I've never voted for him. Just there are parts of the gentleman I don't like. And haven't for 8 or 9 years. Again, this is Scott. I'm a loon. I'm a total kook. All right. Did I vote for the Democrats? No. All right. I pulled out my pen and I wrote none of the above on the write-in line. I've done it 3 times in a row now. Now, if you think that makes me insane, fine. I don't care. I'm disgusted by Washington politics, and I'm still disgusted by some Washington politics. All right. This judge came out the other day and essentially tried to put the stop on this deportation of really bad people. We're talking criminals, terrorists, maybe in some cases, getting them out of the country. All right. A, how did they get in the country to begin with? Well, that's a different subject. We don't have time. But the idea that ICE is rounding up these people and putting them on planes and getting them out of here. And some judge the other day says, no, no, wait, you can't do that. Turn the planes around. And the rest of us, come on, really, the rest of us are like, what? We want to get these people out. These are bad people, and it's mostly all guys. These are bad guys. Get them out of here. Now, okay, now the other side of the coin, Donald Trump, of course, being Donald Trump, comes out, badmouths the judge, mentions the word impeachment. He should be impeached because of this decision. John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, did something very rare yesterday. He came out with a public statement, essentially rebuking the president. Essentially saying, no, knock it off, the impeachment talk. No, knock it off. That is not helping the situation. Now, again, Trump is Trump. He spews whenever he wants to spew. That's one of the reasons I never voted for the guy. All right, that's just me. Call me crazy. So I support Chief Justice Roberts in his very rare comment publicly yesterday, essentially saying, just stop, just knock it off. All right, you can disagree with the guy's ruling. Okay, fine. I disagree with his ruling, this judge. I disagree with his ruling, but enough of this. Now, there was a protest outside local Congressman Glenn Thompson's office yesterday, local office. And let's see, Center Daily Times had a story. I don't know, a couple hundred people showed up, toting signs, chanting, protesting. Okay, fine. That's great. I'm going to assume that all of them were Democrats. Maybe there were a few Republicans mixed in that, you know, anybody but Trump or you know, those type folks. And folks, you can think as you wish. Okay, that's up to you. This is apparently a very coordinated effort across the country that all sorts of congressmen, they go home, you know, during open time, and there's now protests at town halls and protests in front of their offices. All right, it's a free country. You can protest. That's fine. And I was nowhere near the congressman's office yesterday, so I didn't see any of this. I'm reading afterwards. If I had a chance to be there yesterday, the question I would have asked the people in this crowd is, okay, what would you do to cut federal spending? Now, maybe some of the people will respond, well, we shouldn't be doing that at all, which I am at 110% against. Because I think, this is an opinion, all right, the majority of Americans think the federal government is too big, it is too expensive, it is wasting too much money, and it needs to be cut down to size. And all we have to do is look at that $2 trillion annual deficit and $36 trillion federal debt and say, there's our evidence right there. And up until now, nobody has been willing to do anything to cut that spending. What would you cut to get federal spending down? I would be just curious to hear some of the answers from some of the protesters yesterday. Now, we're out of time. I'd love to take some calls here, but we're gonna be going to Fox Sports here in just a little bit. Just a simple question, not get in your face or anger. Just what would you do to cut spending? Now, the answer would either be A, do nothing, which is a bad answer, or B, well, I'd like to hear B. I've mentioned before, I'll be dead when this whole debt situation blows up, but my kids and my grandkids won't be, and I don't want this to blow up in their faces. We got to start doing something. Yeah, some of the stuff they've been doing lately is pretty wild. All right, that's true. Friends, I hope you enjoyed the program this morning. Lots of great sports talk coming up. Have a great Wednesday.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7?